It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And today, my friends, we have an actual outsider. Tell us, what is it like out there? Are there still, what's it called, trees?
What?
He's holding his mouth in a very specific position to try and get that effect. But he hasn't said anything else, so it's just for that first one.
When do I get my root beer?
Probably have some somewhere.
You promised me root beer.
So, has anything changed in your life for social distance? I guess your wife's been home.
That's the thing. And she said when she first told me she was going to be working from home, the way she put it was, I'll be working from home this week.
Yeah.
And then I had to, then later, I think like Monday or Tuesday, I'm thinking, well, she just said this week, but I don't think she meant just this week. And so I said, well, has anyone given you an idea how long this is going to be? And she said, no. So, but I presume it's going to be several weeks.
I don't know. For my company, so this week is spring break around here. So a bunch of people were already going to be gone if they had kids and things like that.
Right, right.
So between that and my company's been very big on, you know, do what your conscience feels and all that. And also leaving up to manager's discretion, which I thought was a terrible idea because some managers are very much, no, you got to come in. And I'm like, I still wanted to come in. Because it's just more comfortable for me there, and there's not a lot of people around anyway, and I was like, you know, this is, but people who are worried about that absolutely should be able to work home. So Monday, I show up, and I'm the only person there in my whole area, which is like 70 employees, which I kind of expected. But I also come in to find out that Sunday night, my boss's boss wrote an email saying, please work from home this week if at all possible.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, what the crap? So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going home at lunch. Mm-hmm. So I come home at lunch and I start working from home, and then that afternoon the CEO sends a thing and says, okay, starting tomorrow, everybody non-essential who can work from home, which is almost everybody, you're gonna work at home from the 17th through the 31st. And so then Trish came home, and Trish had been working home, and that's not hard and fast, it's at least the 31st. As it gets closer, they may reevaluate depending on how things go.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they only told my wife like a week.
Yeah.
I presume today or tomorrow someone will think to tell her, okay, yeah, next week too.
One would think, yeah, that it would come up. Hello everyone, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that was social distancing before it was cool. I mean, just listening to this podcast I think qualifies as social distancing.
I think so.
So good job.
Turn it up.
For entertainment purposes only, this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any known diseases.
Or unknown.
Talk to your doctor before.
Diseases.
Listening to a podcast. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 470. You might notice that we're recording not in front of a live studio audience.
No.
That might seem a little weird.
No.
It's going to...
Where?
You might not know when the jokes are landing, but...
We're recording in the home office I share with Addie. You are currently sitting in Addie's office.
Yep.
I am in mine. You'd see my desk here.
Yeah.
I've had for a while. Yeah, it's
lovely.
Very nice. No, Addie pretty early on decided that was his spot, and so he hangs out there while I work. And in fact, this morning when I was coming to work, he immediately like ran over.
I mean, your desk isn't made of wood, but it is made from trees.
Yeah, a couple of cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And Trish's desk is the bed. Although today, her lap desk arrived, so now she has that. And pretty soon, she got a foldable desk that she's going to put in the guest room so like she can like sit down like a grown-up. This I'm in here because I used to work from home on my couch. Very bad for my back.
Mm-hmm.
This is not great for my back, but it is better. For those of you just joining us, I'm going to assume you understand all the coronavirus stuff because it's pretty global. Let me tell you about this podcast instead. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks, I don't know, you probably, other people, cool people, people who should keep doing it, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. It's so far completely clear and asymptomatic, hosts or servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That is the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Is that really a box of toilet paper?
No, it's an empty box that once had toilet paper in it. Mm-hmm. These are both empty boxes.
I see.
We do have a box of that same size of toilet paper unopened.
My wife
were not hoarding. We get our toilet paper via Amazon, and we were on like a subscription
thing.
And it got ahead of us, so we stopped it, but we still had that box. So we're doing pretty well on that.
My wife went shopping yesterday and was surprised at the things that had run out.
Yeah. Was now, that the first time you'd gone shopping this week?
That's the first time. Well, I haven't been out, but she, yes, that's the first time she's
gone
shopping.
This has been going on since last weekend.
Now, the interesting thing about it is there are some things that the store has run out of that don't seem that surprising, like disinfectant wipes and things like that. The reason that toilet paper seems surprising and soaps is it's conceivable that the disinfectant wipes and disinfectant stuff are things that people aren't used to buying very often.
Yes.
And so what's happening there isn't one person's buying it all out. It's like more people are buying it. So you can understand it running out. But nobody's buying toilet paper for the first time.
No.
So and someone's hoarding that.
The
for
vast
sure.
majority of people that are hoarding toilet paper are doing it because everybody else was hoarding toilet paper.
So, like,
literally have talked to people who have been like, I don't know why everybody's doing it, but I figured I better too before it runs out.
So, like, one person started this and now everyone's
apparently
doing it. That's so weird.
The things that are being bought and that aren't are weird. A lot of them make sense. A lot of them, there are staples, make sense. Bread.
Sure.
Pasta.
I suppose if
milk
someone
is supposedly up, although at Hy-Vee. Plenty of milk.
Well, right, because some people don't want to shop more than once this month kind of thing,
then
so they're buying more.
Weird shit like black beans. Not beans. Black beans. You go to the Hy-Vee, every kind of bean available except black beans. And I thought this is just a weird, like, Iowa City kind of thing. No, NPR showed the trend, like, black bean sales are up, like, 42% or something.
What?
Rice, yeah, tons of rice. That's the only theory is people are thinking like, oh, beans and rice. But I'm like, still, black beans, like very specifically.
Kind of beans will go with beans and rice.
Bread was slower because I went to Hy-Vee on Saturday and then again on Monday. And bread was fine on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Black beans were already gone. But it was almost gone by Monday. Soon I will go back shopping again, although I'm going to try and do it at an off time, and I think I'm just gonna go myself.
It's just a weird thing to see things that, I mean, the supply chains for these things are not broken or anything.
People
Nobody
are hoarding water.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, there's
that's
there's
very odd.
People are basically doomsday prepping, is what is happening.
I mean, and again, if someone doesn't want to go back to the store for a month because they don't want to expose themselves, I can kind of understand that.
I had a friend who said that they had like a month or two of stuff, and I was like, and they're like, what, how much have you got? I was like, I haven't done that. And they were like, what? And I was like, because I don't see what, and then I finally was like, oh, if you just are so you don't have to go shopping, I get that. I'm still not going to do that, but that makes sense
right,
to me.
Right,
right. And I mean, we stocked up a little bit more, especially because we go out a lot and we haven't been doing that.
Sure.
Although we did get delivery last night. Delivery places are going crazy. Like, they're all, because almost every restaurant is shut down except for delivery.
Hmm.
So the apps like Grubhub and Chomp, yeah, you can get all sorts of crap.
Well, aren't they trying to relax some regulations that where, like, say a restaurant doesn't have a license or a permit or whatever it is to do delivery stuff that maybe they can now so they can keep their employees working?
I don't know. I think with the one of the rideshare things, you don't need to, because essentially it's just a pickup order with a middleman picking it up.
So they could pick that up from anywhere?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So,
and in fact, that Grubhub's been fucking people over with that. Grubhub's been listing restaurants on their sites before the coronavirus thing. Grubhub just being assholes. They list restaurants on their sites and basically force a middleman, because they'll put the number on there and stuff like that. And the restaurants have no idea it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically Grubhub gets the information and then they place the order and then they pick it up. And it's really... Yeah, it's been really kind of scuzzy. But... I think most places, yeah, they can either do pickup or delivery. And I don't even think you need, like, a license for delivery. I think you just need somebody to drive.
Well, I've just heard about all of these regulations they're trying to relax so that some businesses... Oh, well, I think the thing I was thinking of was, I'm not sure in Iowa anyway that a lot of these, like Grubhub and those things, I'm not sure they can deliver alcohol.
Like if you wanted to, I have heard that they were changing the rules for alcohol delivery.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'm thinking of.
People need to drink right now. Holy crap! Here's what gets me. So, the governor's saying things.
Yeah, we did. I just watched the governor's thing.
And the last time I looked up, the governor put in stuff like bars, restaurants, gyms, things like a lot of these places are supposed to close now.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. My gym didn't send me any notification, and they send me notification about all sorts. They send me notification when they cancel classes. But I'm also like, is my gym necessarily looking for what the governor said?
Yeah, I don't know.
The governor's office isn't calling up every gym in the state.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I'm like, this seems kind of ineffective. I had already stopped going. I actually was thinking about going back recently, but then shit really hit the fan, and really – what I'm doing right now is just walking. Like, I'm not doing any weightlifting or anything. And I'm like, I can just do that outside. So that's what I've been doing a lot of.
Yeah, Governor Reynolds, I think the first time she's given any address on the whole thing, as far as I know, was today. So I don't know how businesses are going to be notified, or if that's something like it goes out to the counties and the counties take care of it, because I get notices from the county all the time about things. So maybe that's how people are made aware.
And the universities have already said we're done for this year. This semester is going to be all online. All the state universities.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I don't know. How are you reacting to it all?
I mean, obviously the concern that's most, you know, in the front of my mind is my own, you know, father and his wife being elderly and dad being a little sickly right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing I think of first, but he's being responsible and careful, so I'm not really too worried about that, actually. And that was a major concern because his wife is a pianist and an organist for like just about all the churches in the area, and she has funerals and weddings and all this other stuff, and she had a lot of things lined up that hadn't really been canceled.
Yeah.
So she had to, you know, she had to say, look, I'm not going to do this for a while.
Yeah.
And but the concern was she wasn't going to do that, and so she was going to go to all these gatherings and get sick, and my dad was going to get sick, but she canceled all that stuff, which I think was the right and responsible thing to do. So I'm not worried about, I don't have anyone else to be immediately worried about.
Yeah.
So past that, of course, I'm concerned about anyone else out there who is vulnerable. But of course, all I can do about that is do what I can to not be the person that exposes them or other people that might expose them.
A surprisingly large number of people are still basically doing nothing or almost nothing.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to me, especially because it's another one of those live in a bubble thing. Like everything in my life, of course, like the news I read and everything, everybody on there, of course, we're all hunkered down and everything. Yeah. And then every once in a while I get something like, no, like half the population isn't doing any isolating at all.
Well, some of them can't. I mean,
no, I understand that, but some, well,
like work.
Some of them can't do many things.
Yeah.
You can always do something.
Something. That's right. That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But, yeah, and I've discovered the people that annoy me most in this whole thing. There's two kinds of people. The people that are more paranoid about it than me and the people that are less paranoid. Basically, unless your level of concern is exactly the same as mine, you're pissing me off.
Well,
and I've got prime examples of both in my life right now.
Really, the only thing that's changed is my wife's working from home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's the only thing that's changed except, again, being concerned about my dad. I have checked on some other people. You know, Jazz is a good friend of mine, as you know. She lives out of town. Checked on her. I've got a friend that lives in New York who's a school teacher. I checked on her. So there's other people that, some of these people aren't necessarily high risk at all, but I still check on them to see how they're doing.
One set of parents does very well at isolating. The other set, there's been some difficulties with. They're kind of maybe still not getting it
entirely. See, yeah.
And apparently that's not uncommon.
Yeah, I was concerned about that with my dad too, that maybe he wouldn't.
Because there's some, like, you know, we don't want you to come and visit. And they're taking that as, we don't want them to come. And we're like, no, we don't want anybody to go visit anybody right now. This isn't about you. Like, this has nothing to do with our feelings toward you. I don't know. The whole thing is super weirding, Matt, which is funny because not a lot is different. I mean, I'm working from home. But I've worked from home before. But I mean, sure. Constant. And everybody is. And that's very interesting. The work dynamic is very different.
Sure, yeah, right.
In some ways, it's been kind of cool because people are sort of like, we have a standing meeting every day with my team that's just to shoot the shit because, like, we can't do that like we normally would at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not totally cut off. You're here for this. I do. My gaming group is still happening. At least as of right now, we're all isolating.
Sure.
And so we do get together at their house, and they disinfect everything, and we've agreed as soon as anybody has the slightest sign of symptoms, we're all out.
Right, right.
And I canceled my doctor's appointment because it was just a routine regular one. And in fact, when I contacted, they were just like, yep, sure, super do that. My hairdresser salon has closed, and I was just about due, so I'm going to start getting coronavirus hair. Which is going to be fun.
No, it's Carol, whatever.
Carla Byler.
Carla Byler hair.
Yes, or the Rona. That's the other one I like. People just call it the Rona. You got the Rona? I am going to be seeing my massage therapist on Monday. I can't not. Like, there's too much pain going on. So that one's kind of have. But otherwise, but I mean, that's still a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
But there's just something about the deliberateness about all of this that feels very bizarre to me. I don't know. There's something that very intense about that. We're
super unusual. I mean,
yeah. And it just feels weird to me. Yeah. And like we're all like agreed. We're going to live in our little houses. Stuff. We have cut off the dinner with the neighbors because the neighbors are a little less concerned in some ways. Mm. And it's just, and you know, part of me is like, maybe I'm overdoing it, and then the numbers are still going up, like, really fast.
Well,
in terms of numbers of reported cases and everything.
Where I come from in all of this, and I mentioned this last time, I'm, like most people, I'm anxious to know, you know, what, you know, how fatal this disease really is.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to tell. I mean, the WHO came out with a number that, when you look at it closer, you realize they're comparing it to flu, but the flu has estimated numbers. In other words, their flu numbers aren't just the proven people who've gotten the flu versus people who die. It's like estimated numbers, and they don't do estimated numbers for the COVID disease. So it's like, well, that's not apples and oranges, or that is apples to oranges. So you don't really know what the numbers are. But I think their understanding of how many people each person infects, that's pretty solid. And that's the real scary thing, because even if the COVID-19 disease is less fatal, if it infects more people could die from it.
And all evidence is that it is not less fatal.
Well, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that it's not less. So it's just, so people who can, I guess, people who can, like you and I, we both can, should do this. And for the people who can't, I mean, That's terrible. I'm sure a lot of them would like to do some of the things we're doing, precautions we're taking. But certainly the people who can should, I think should. But that's my opinion. And
yeah, and people's definition of can varies.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, there's just too much. I'm picking it. Like, there are rare occasions where I have, and I'm not ever a group of more than 10, but like, I want to know what's going on with the people that I'm choosing to stay in contact
with.
Sure,
that's right.
And just in general, you know, I want to stay out of people's way. Like, I don't want to add to the problem.
Right, and hopefully what those of us who can do more, if we do that, will, like you said last time, you pointed out how the big goal here is to prevent the system from getting overtaxed.
Yeah, flatten the curve.
Because the fact is, the amount of people that are going to get sick might just get sick, but for them not to get sick all at once would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because some of the mortality rates in some countries really aren't about how many people are getting sick. They're about the people not being able to get treated.
Yes. And the fastest growing number of people getting the infection here are young adult healthcare workers.
Yeah.
Really bad. And
well, I just hope, yeah, you know, everyone listening is safe, and I hope, you know, I hope they're doing everything they can to.
But it's also weird because if you do the right thing, you won't know. Like somebody said, if we properly are doing this isolating and social distancing, if we do it actually right, 6 months from now, we're going to wonder if maybe we overdid it. Like, possibly. If it works correctly.
Yeah, possibly.
And I'm like, and we're not that good. Like, if it becomes evident how important it is, we didn't do it well enough.
Yeah, I mean, but I do think there are some things that, you know, 6-9 months from now, looking back, you can say, we know that, you know, we've got pretty good stats that this many people stayed home. And if we extrapolate from the infections that we did get from people who didn't stay home, and we said, well, if these people also didn't stay home, how many more infections would we have gotten? So there's ways to measure possibly, you know, how many lives were saved by people taking certain steps. And I hope it is worth it because, I mean, when we get on the other side of this, you know, thank God maybe some lives will be saved, but some businesses will be done. Some mm-hmm. people won't have jobs. You know, there's going to be other casualties, not people who are succumbing to the illness, that we are going to have to deal with on the other side of this.
If you are currently out of work because of this, look at big box retailers and food delivery services, because those places are doing really well in this. In fact, they are hiring new people.
Also, so if you need if work. If you live in Iowa, my understanding is they are expanding certain unemployment benefits. I don't know if they're doing it as well as like Michigan. Michigan's doing a really good job in expanding their benefits.
Michigan's had experience.
Yeah. So I don't know what I was going to do, but don't think that, you know, don't think you have to suffer through this alone. I think there's a lot of things the state's trying to do to help. So,
also, in just funny timing thing, this afternoon, my glasses split in half.
I was going to ask about your glasses.
Yes.
Because they are gone.
I am currently wearing contacts.
Oh, I didn't even know you had those.
I do. I keep them around for basically when we go to the beach every year. For swimming, I put them in.
Oh.
So that I can see. And it's just a set. It's what's supposed to be a 30-day supply of disposable, but they don't expire for 5 years, so I just keep them around and last that long. So I've got some. I also have my sunglasses, which I was using earlier, but it's just dark enough today that, like, it was very depressing, everything being that dark. Trish is theoretically going to be super gluing my glasses back together.
So how did that happen?
We tried taping them, but electrical tape is very bad for that because it's very stretchy, and so it just kept coming undone.
Did one of the cats punch you in the face?
No. I took off my glasses because I was about to, like, clean them.
Mm-hmm.
I took them off, and it was just a very thin line of metal, and I've had the same glasses for, like, 4 years now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's about right. I think that happens.
Yeah. But I was just like, really? That's hilarious. It looks like, I mean, I have a really complicated prescription, so, you know, Warby Parker or whatever is not an option for me, but the place where I get my glasses is still open, and so in theory I could call them, and if we could figure out frames over the phone or whatever, they've got my prescription, they could make me new ones, and I can just swing by and get them.
Your prescription doesn't change?
It does, very small. But I had an exam like a few months ago.
Okay.
So they could make me something that is better to my prescription than both these contacts and the glasses I was wearing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because, yeah, no, the last two or three times it hasn't changed enough to warrant new glasses. About my coronavirus hair? Yes, I'm going to have coronavirus hair.
The Rona hair.
Yeah, seriously, I was really close to a haircut, so, like, I don't know how this will go now. But
well, you know, that's another... So, my wife and I, she gets her haircut fairly frequently, and I go, like, every other time, more or less.
Okay.
So, I don't even have to go that often. Well, she went... You know, sometime right before this, that wasn't one of the times where I would go with her.
Mm.
Now.
So you're going to have some Rona hair.
Yeah, I might have some Rona hair, too. All right. Well, and another thing we talked about, because I broke my glasses like 2 years ago now and have never gotten them replaced. And so we were talking let's schedule eye appointments so you can get some new glasses. Well, that's not going to happen now. So.
It's
nope.
Going to be like Duck Dynasty all over.
I can still trim my beard. Yes, yes, I will.
Hey, if she wants to, I mean, we can do Duck Dynasty.
No,
if she wants.
We cannot. We absolutely cannot do Duck Dynasty. I refuse. Also, so you know how I'm like kind of playing three different video games? Because I was playing Conan, and then I stopped, and then I was playing Divinity, and then I stopped, and playing
then
Vampire.
Right.
Vampire is... The parallels have ceased to be amusing just become depressing, so
right,
I'm stopping
sure,
that now.
Sure.
And Divinity Original Sin didn't feel action-y enough, and I don't know, nothing sounds super appealing about going back to Conan. So I decided, no, let's branch out. So...
Oh, another one.
Last night,
oh, more than one.
I went through my PlayStation store account
and
PS Plus library.
Yeah,
of
all
games
the stuff you've never downloaded
that I got for free.
Yeah, right.
And I went and looked at the hell of a sale they're having right now, basically because everybody's stuck at home,
oh,
so like they're consciously doing things. And I ended up grabbing a free game. Two games out of my PlayStation Plus library, and then spending a total of $30 on three other games.
Jeez.
I've already tossed the free game because it turned out it was a trick. It's just one of those free-to-play MMOs that looks pretty terrible, actually.
Mm.
So I now have it narrowed down to Lords of the Fallen, Tearaway, Monster Hunter World, Warhammer 40K Inquisitor, Martyr, I think is the full title. And the first Darksiders. Because weirdly, in my PlayStation Plus library, I have the second Darksiders and the third Darksiders, but not the first one. So,
it
was on sale for $5.
The
so.
First Darksiders was War?
It was either War or Death. I want to say it was Death, but I don't remember.
No, the second one was Death.
All right, then it was probably War, because the version I have is the War Mastered Edition. I actually think I did have the free one, but it came out on the PS3. And so I think I had the PS3 version.
Yeah,
but
we had
the
first
PS4
one.
Version is $5 right now on PlayStation.
Oh, and you can get them all three of them?
They're all out there, not for $5. Mm. But that first one is $5. The other ones I just already have in PlayStation Plus right now.
I mean, yeah, we played the first one on PS3. It was okay. And I think we tried to play the second one, and my wife was like,
technically, there's a fourth one that's sort of a spin-off prequel called Darksiders Origins.
Well, it kind of makes sense that there'd be four, because they're all horsemen, right?
Right. Well, and that's part of the thing. Apparently, the spinoff, you get to play as Strife, which is the fourth one.
Oh.
But yeah, so I've got all those. I tried a little bit of Monster Hunter World, and by a little bit, I mean I've played about an hour, and I'm almost to the point where I'm going to get a task to go do something.
Hmm. Okay.
There was a lot of tutorial time. Mm-hmm. I just picked a weapon. Like, the last thing I did was actually picking a weapon. So, we'll see about that one.
Is it any good? I mean...
So far, it's hard to tell. It's just... It's exciting, and I'd been curious for a while, and I was like, I don't know for sure. And it was like $10. It's like $10 right now.
Sure.
And... It's not really an MMO, but you can play online with other people, and I don't think you have to talk to them, which is nice. And it's, yeah, it's just action-y and bright and stuff like that, and I was like, this feels like a good choice right now. But mostly, when you start a new video game, all the dopamine kicks in, because it's all new and exciting, and I'm like, so, start, I got a whole bunch, hopefully this will carry me through.
Yeah.
speaking of exciting and new, though, my gaming group, we are finally beginning the Blades in the Dark campaign. They have made characters, and they have settled on a crew type, and we still have some more to do next Tuesday. But they are playing a group of shadows, which are basically thieves. They steal stuff, they rob stuff, they do espionage, they break into places, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But not assassins.
No, assassins is a different crew type.
Okay.
Now, the character types, we've got a cutter, a slide, a spider, and a lurk. But the crew type are shadows.
Okay.
There's a lot of layers to this thing.
But a lot of layers.
I'm getting excited. I think it's going to be cool. They're
I mean, it sounds fun.
They're coming up with good sort of... I was surprised at the amount of sort of improvised ideas they came up with during the creation process. Like, they all seem pretty motivated. I'm pleased about that.
That's good.
Yeah, so I'm excited there. Movies. Do you watch any movies? You've been stuck at home.
We watched The Addams Family, the animated Addams Family.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
There's a lot of things about it I liked, but I could tell, I didn't check to see if it was popular or not, but I could tell that it might not be, because it didn't really have that frenetic, you know,
yeah, yeah,
20
yeah.
jokes a second thing going on that a lot of people.
It looks
like
much
it.
More like a kid's cartoon than a...
And yet,
animated version of the Addams Family craziness.
And yet a lot of the humor would not appeal to kids.
Yeah, okay, great.
I mean, there were some bits that I thought were hilarious. I thought, oh, that is brilliant.
So kids would like those parts.
No, probably not. Because I, you know, right. So, but I did like it. I kind of hope they make more, but I bet they won't. So that's too bad. But yeah, that's the one thing we saw. I mean, we've been mostly just watching...
Oak Island stuff.
Television. Because there was... We've been watching things on, like, Amazon Prime or whatever.
Yeah,
you still have that. TV shows. I can't really remember.
I'm 4 episodes into Umbrella Academy. I'm really swinging back and forth.
Oh, yeah?
We just... over lunch today, because we have lunch together and we're home, and they're an hour long, so we watched an episode, and I spent, like, half the time hating it and half the time really liking it. And...
But have you seen some movies then this week? Or?
Yes.
What'd you see?
We saw... actually, I guess we postponed date night until this weekend. So we saw Parasite.
Oh.
It is now available to rent, like, on Amazon and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I haven't seen it yet.
I liked it. Trish, I am unsure. She said it was weird.
I mean, does it live up to the hype? Because there's a lot of hype.
I don't know what the hype is, though, because...
Well, it's like awards hype.
Well, I mean, it did win Best Picture at the Oscars, yeah. I mean, I like Jojo Rabbit better, but I haven't seen most of the Best Picture movies. It's a very well-made film. It is... I knew almost nothing about it, and that's sort of intentional, and I'm not going to talk much about it because I feel it's a movie better going and not understanding.
Sure.
I will say it's... Category is listed as comedy / thriller / horror.
Really? I didn't even know any of that.
And I would say that is correct in descending order. It is definitely a comedy, and I think very funny. It's definitely something of a thriller. There is some gore in it, sort of in a specific section, but not bad. I think it's pushing it to call it horror, but there is a little blood and gore, so it might count. I mean, it's definitely like an R-rated thing, I think. I enjoyed it. It's a not super subtle social commentary, but I mean, I think a good one and an interesting one. So I like that. And then last night, we saw last year's Hellboy movie.
Oh.
And we went in knowing it was bad, supposedly.
I'm surprised
people did not see.
I thought you didn't want to see it.
I was really excited originally, and then it came out and everybody said it wasn't that good.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
what happened, yeah.
My interest in seeing it in the theater waned, but I still wanted to see it at some point.
Oh, okay.
Problem is it was 2 hours long, and I'm like, 2 hours for a movie that I don't think is going to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
But Trish is the one who picked it last night, and she's like, it might be bad. I'm like, no, but I know it's bad. So, like,
you're
my
prepared.
Expectations are right. I was not prepared. It's really bad on, like, most levels, which is interesting because it's a completely functional and very clearly high-budget movie that I think was acted competently, but every other aspect about it is trash.
Mm.
Have you seen it?
No. I don't know if we will. We might.
The writing is terrible. The direct, like, when you can tell that the editing is bad, that's a bad sign.
Yeah,
and the editing in this was bad. None of it. They bless David Harbour. Love him to death. I think it's the fault of the script. Hellboy comes off as just like such a fucking idiot, and like, Hellboy is, you know, a paranormal investigator of 80 years.
Yeah.
And there are times in this movie where he knows shit out of nowhere because he's really smart. There are other times where basic concepts don't, like why some a friend of his who was turned into a vampire might want to attack him. Like he genuinely is like, why are you doing it? He knows the person's a vampire, and he's like, why are you what? Why are you doing like it? Yeah, it's no, it's not good. Also, Daniel Dae Kim, also love him, really love him, has a fascinating British accent.
Oh, I didn't even know that he could do a British accent.
Well.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he can,
well,
but you aren't fooled for a second that it's his real voice. And there are moments when, and I understand, he's not Japanese and neither of them is British. But there are moments where it sounds so much like he's doing a George Takei impression.
Oh.
And it just felt weird. And I was like, is this me not realizing he's actually British and all the times I've heard him with an American accent or fake? And I looked it up. I'm like, nope. I mean, he was born in Korea, but he lived in the U.S. since he was one.
Sure.
So I'm like, nope. This one is definitely the fake one. And you can tell. It's just. And I mean, Ian McShane's there just being his Ian McShane-ist. Like usual. Nothing too exciting there. But yeah, really, really bad. Mila Jovovich is the villain, and she was very poorly cast. It doesn't make any sense. See, like, I don't know. It was bad.
We're watching Kingdom on Netflix because it's back. But it's probably not something you'd like. It's just a...
Which king? So many things have been called Kingdom.
Oh, it's the one with the medieval... feudal Korean zombie thing.
Oh, that one. Okay.
It's actually pretty good.
I've still been curious about that one when you brought it up before. There's also an old Stephen Fry show called Kingdom where maybe he is a lawyer who helps people. I don't know. There's also one that's about a haunted hospital. That one might be called The Kingdom. I don't know. There's a lot of things called Kingdom.
Yeah, there really are.
It's been bugging me lately. A lot of TV shows, movies, and songs that have the same title. No, okay, listen to this, people. No one is allowed to make a song with the title Kiss Me, I Love You, Breath or Breathe, Closer. That one's not allowed. There are a lot of songs titled Closer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a few other ones in. So many songs have that same damn title. It's very confusing. Oh, and I watched a movie on my own called Dead Detectives. That was not bad. Dead Detectives.
Nice.
It's a horror comedy.
Really?
And it's...
I wouldn't have guessed.
And it is interesting because it is a horror... Remember how I like those dumb movies about, like, paranormal investigators go to a place? And
sure,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's that, but it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, our group of intrepid heroes are specifically the kind that, like, fake ghost stuff so that their show will be popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to a place that's not so much fake, mm-hmm. and hijinks ensue. Nobody in it, you know, except the male lead was the male lead in the sitcom, the FX sitcom You're the Worst, which neither of us has seen. But if you have seen it, that's him. It was, I don't know, I enjoyed it. It was a very interesting sort of, the plot worked out interesting. Somebody dies fairly early on, but like their ghost is still around and that becomes a character. And I don't know, it was interesting. I liked it. It's on Shudder, if anybody has Shudder. So that was fun.
We also, we did watch some, we watched, which guy hadn't seen it before, or if I had, I forgot it, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre with Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've definitely never seen it.
It was actually pretty good. I mean, I do like old movies. I know a lot of people don't, but even as old movies go, I thought it was all right. Humphrey Bogart's sort of a bad guy in it.
Ooh.
I don't know if I'd... I mean, I've seen him in a lot of things where he's not really a good guy or a bad guy, you know.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero kind of a...
But I've never... I don't think I've ever seen one where he's, like, straight up sort of a bad guy.
I am scared of Humphrey Bogart.
Well, he's pretty scary in this.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't... I've never seen him like this.
No, I'm scared of him. You know why I'm scared of him?
No.
Coleridge Mall. Coleridge Cinema.
Yeah.
You ever been?
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
When you walk in the men's room, immediately there is this giant picture of Humphrey Bogart threatening to punch you.
Oh, no, that's like...
No, he's like this.
Is he?
Yeah.
From Casablanca, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, he's threatening to punch me.
I'll have to take a picture of that and see.
Oh, that reminded me of something. On St. Patrick's Day, I read an article. Somebody pointed out something, that there's something on Disney Plus that you could watch if you wanted to. For St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, what was that?
A little movie called Darby O'Gell and the Little People.
And the Little People, sure. That's an old Disney movie.
That gave me nightmares.
That gave you nightmares?
For
I've never even seen it,
years.
So I don't even know what it's about. It's a film.
It is a hella insane film. but it also just hit notes for me. Like, it is... It's super racist against the Irish, like really bad.
Mm.
It's just bizarre. The young male lead in it is Sean Connery, which is just confusing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that part.
And at the end, it's super scary because, like, the banshee shows up and is wailing all the time and chasing our main character. And then eventually the death coach arrives where the headless horseman is riding it and he has to get in. It's going to take him away to the underworld or whatever. It's freaky stuff. There's lots of little leprechauns. But it's also, I think it was the time period it hit me and stuff. I think I would, like, a lot of shenanigans happen because there's lots of leprechauns and things involved and people getting tricked a lot. And that just really bugged me. There's a lot of unfair power dynamics in the movie. And I think I saw it right when I was at that kid age where the concept of fairness was, like, really kicking in. And nothing is fair. Like, everybody is terrible and, like, oh, God, it fucked me up for years. Like, it's bad enough that I'm not sure I can watch it now. Like, I kind of want to because I remember how apeshit it was and that's, you know, that's my jam. But I'm not sure I can. It might bring back too many terrifying memories.
Well, Jazz sent me a book that's it's a classic book with Irish folklore. Like, the first half of the book has, like, Irish folklore and the last half has Irish myth. I've not gotten to the myth part, but most of the folklore stuff I've read, and there were a lot of things in there that I didn't know or that I'd never heard of. So as you're talking about this, I'm thinking, well, this might be maybe this movie has some of that stuff, because this book, I forget who the author is, if I told you, you'd recognize the name, but it's like a very famous book on Irish folklore. And so there's little doubt that the people who made this movie knew about some of the stuff in there.
Apparently Walt Disney really got obsessed with the Irish during this time. And apparently there's actually a little film short out there where Walt Disney hangs out with Darby O'Gell. And like it was like a little ad for the movie kind of thing. And it includes a part that implies that the King of the Leprechauns is actually a leprechaun, that, like, they got to be in this movie.
What kind of name is Disney anyway? Is that English or something? Or I mean,
I have
isn't
no
that
idea. I mean, it's the movie of a large. It's the name of a large company.
No, I know.
From
but,
a guy named
but
Walt.
But his heritage is probably
I don't
not
know.
That far off.
I'm guessing he's not Jewish.
I don't know. I don't think so. Unless...
No, that was a joke. He was famously anti-Semitic.
Oh, well, I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, really a lot. actually, just kind of overall racist. He was way into Birth of a Nation, and of course, Song of the South. Apparently, recently it has come up, and Disney has basically confirmed you will never get to see Song of the South on Disney Plus. Which is interesting because you can still see the whole version of Dumbo, and they just put a little warning at the beginning that says this depicts outdated caricatures.
I heard that. Well, you know, like Warner Brothers, I don't think they've allowed people to see Speedy Gonzalez cartoons for years now.
Oh man!
I don't think they put those out there anymore.
Yeah,
Speedy
that's
Gonzalez
rough.
Cartoon.
I loved Speedy, but unquestionably.
Yeah. Pretty much over the top.
Oh, I didn't empathize with Speedy. I empathized with Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Who carried a gun?
Yes. he packed a gun. That was, oh. Well, he showed up in several of them, but that was the good one. Where they tell Sylvester, like, you go after Slowpoke Rodriguez, he's not very fast. And Sylvester chases him and then gets shot. And he said, yeah, because Slowpoke Rodriguez, he packed a gun.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
When I was little, I used to love racist accents so much.
Well, I mean, I liked accents. I didn't really know that it was, you know, that they were making fun of these people, maybe.
You're right.
Or...
When I was little, I liked accents so much. By coincidence, for the time period I was raised in, every single accent I heard was super racist.
But also, I mean... Yeah, like I've often said, I was a huge fan of Mel Blanc, so I knew that was Mel Blanc talking. Mm. But there were other cartoon characters who maybe spoke with a Spanish accent or a Chinese accent, and I didn't really think about that person's not, you know, Mexican or Chinese.
Yeah, no. None of it occurred to me. It wasn't until years later I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
It's pretty awful. When you look back, it's pretty bad. Yes. And really, people back then should have known.
I told my players, because the new game is set in a fantasy world, but they have attached certain nationalities to certain areas. They're like, these people tend to look and sound like people from the British Isles. These tend to look like Europe and stuff like that. And I told them, I'm like, this game is going to be full of terrible accents. I'm ready for that. We should draw something, or else the coronavirus gets us, or something. I don't know.
Oh. Well, we don't want that.
No. It's going to be bad enough to our hair.
Yep. Rona hair.
Rona hair.
When I was talking to my family, I called it the COVID, but I think Rona's better.
Trish keeps blaming it on blackbirds, because it sounds like Corvid.
Yeah, that's very clever. Oh. Jazz wants to know what coming attractions are you looking forward to. Well,
the movie industry is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously the biggest thing I've been looking forward to for a long time, even before they pushed it back like 9 months from its original release date, was Wonder Woman. It has not been moved as of this recording.
Yes,
but it probably will be. I don't see how it won't. I mean, everyone's
probably
thinking, everyone's
it's
projecting
pretty far out at this point, but
early June and everyone's,
oh, I thought it was in July.
No,
okay.
Early June and everyone's saying that, you know, at least 3 months of this, and some people are saying into August and everything. And I can't imagine they won't move it if this is still a thing. I mean, they'd have to.
Yeah.
But Black Widow's been moved. I mean, I can't think of too many other movies. I mean, I was going to see Black Widow, but it wasn't like, oh, a big thing I was looking forward to. But Wonder Woman, definitely, and I just don't even know.
Right now,
when we're going to see it.
I'm excited because in a few days, Bloodshot is going to be on demand.
That's
right.
You can
see it at home.
Well, didn't it just get released 2 weeks
ago
or something?
Yes, well, no, they're doing that with a bunch of movies right
now.
Well,
yeah, that's...
But that one, like...
But it did so poorly, though. I mean, that's part of why.
But I mean, I think it opened the last weekend, which was the worst movie opening weekend in 20 years.
Are you going to watch it?
I want to, because it's going to be awful. It's Vin Diesel in a movie based off a comic that's called Bloodshot. Like, I don't know that. I am nervous. And Trish is arguing with me. She's like, it's Vin Diesel. It's going to be hilarious. I'm like, no. For every Chronicles of Riddick, there's a Riddick. And for every XXX, there's a Witch Hunter. Like, he can make bad action movies that are just bad.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell, but I'm kind of excited. Also, April 3rd? Guess what's coming to Disney Plus?
I do not know.
The Straight Story.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Get on that. I haven't seen that since I could watch it on VHS. So I should check that out again.
It's a weird little movie, really.
I mean, all you got is David Lynch.
Yeah,
it's
David
Lynch. G-rated David Lynch movie, people. That's how you know, right there. It's
shot in the great state of Iowa because that's where the story
takes place. Harry Dean Stanton. Yeah. A couple others. Got all of his usual people in it.
Sissy Spacek's in it?
Yeah. G-rated. That's usually what I have to tell people when they're like, what is it? I'm like, it's G-rated David Lynch. And they're like, arrgh.
I mean, I liked it.
It was great. It was great. I remember it is really awesome. I want to see it again.
It's visually stunning. It really shows off how beautiful Iowa is. So, yeah, I totally recommend it.
For lawnmower fans, it's, you know.
Well, you know what else is supposed to happen? Is it this year? I think it's yet this year. We heard about this several months ago, and I just found out the other, like 2 days ago, that my brother from Alaska is really excited about it and thinking of coming into town for it. Is they're building a, not temporary, I guess. I don't know. They're building some kind of structure where the Field of Dreams baseball field is in Dyersville to have a professional baseball game there.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's the White Sox and the Yankees, I want to say, who's going to play. And I could be wrong about that. Someone can check. But I seem to recall that's what it was because when I pay attention to professional baseball, which admittedly isn't that off. I mean, I think we all know that I like the game of baseball, but
I don't
necessarily follow it professionally, but sometimes I do. And when I do, I usually root for the Chicago White Sox. And I think I remember it being the White Sox and the Yankees because this brother from Alaska I'm talking about likes the Yankees. And I think I remember thinking at the time, oh, this would be really cool. If my brother came.
Professional baseball version of he and I getting in a fist fight.
Right. I thought it would be fun. But anyway, but I don't even know if I told him about it now off the top of my head, but he has heard about it and he wants to come. I don't think he thinks he can get tickets, but he just wants to be like there while it's happening. I didn't even think of that, just maybe being there for it. But I think at the time I first heard of it, I also heard how much the ticket prices were. I was like, no way. Can we afford that? Or not only... Even if we could afford it, I do like baseball, and this is an event, and it's a Field of Dreams and all that stuff, but even I have my limits about how much I'm going to spend on something like that. So, but then if he comes into town, if he's really going to be up in Dyersville, which is only, what, an hour and a half away from us? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd have to go up there if he was going to be there. So I don't know. But the reason I brought it up is because I think it's supposed to be July or something, so who knows if that's even going to happen. Oh, but wait, No, why would it happen? I thought Major League Baseball canceled their season, didn't they?
Probably.
Well, then
most of professional sports canceled.
Well, this would have
season.
To count too, because this is a professional baseball. I mean, it's like a legal, it's like a actual game that counts. You know.
You should check the internet.
Yeah. Shut up. My,
it'll probably.
My family
say.
Was just talking about it in text, and I was like barely paying attention, and just I basically.
Well, I mean, then you definitely should talk about it more barely paying attention.
I mean, I mentioned
in the first place.
I mentioned that I remembered it was going to happen, but for some reason it didn't occur to me to say, "Wait a minute, this can't still be going on." And only now did that occur to me.
When William doesn't give up, like, see, now you understand.
Why didn't I think
of
it?
Keeps going.
I mean, I think it was even mentioned that, oh well, they might cancel that or push it back. And I don't know why at that moment I didn't think, wait a minute, is Major League Baseball even still going on? Yeah. Because then it's definitely not going to happen.
Anything you've heard of happening outside of your house, you should assume yeah. it's not happening at this point.
That's probably true.
I mean, the podcast is that, it's just lucky that this was still going when you showed up. But speaking of shit you can actually experience at home, although I don't know how I'm going to exactly because we don't have real TV anymore, but starting a week from tomorrow is a new show on Sci-Fi that I just learned about called Vagrant Queen. And it appears to be the latest Farscape, Killjoys, Firefly vibe.
Really?
Yes. This young woman, played by an actress of color, which makes me happy, but who I do not recognize, is the long-lost queen of this galactic empire, and she doesn't want to do it. And instead, she runs around as what looks like a bounty hunter or whatever with a couple other people and lots of weird aliens and shit, and hijinks ensue.
So far, sounds really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice. I'm excited.
This is on what?
Sci-fi. Sci-fi.
Well, I'm not going to be able to see that.
Well, see, but I don't know. Well, very quickly, if you're willing to spend money, Amazon will almost always give you this shit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah.
That may end up what I eventually end up doing for the most recent season of Doctor Who, because we haven't seen that yet. But they have weird connections, so I don't know if Sci-Fi will do one of those things where if you keep up, you can watch it on Hulu, or as soon as the season's done, you can watch it on Netflix. I mean, they always seem to do weird things.
Yeah, yeah.
So keep an eye out, but especially if you have TV and you actually get sci-fi, Vagrant Queen.
Well, even if I can't see it right when it comes out, I can see it
yeah,
later.
Yeah, no, at some point, yeah.
So I hope it's good.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. Awesome. And I mean, it absolutely looks in that vein. To me, it totally looks like, oh, this is Killjoys. No, wait, this isn't Killjoys. This is kind of Farscape. No, it's not Farscape. But it's absolutely that vibe.
Well, I like Space Cowboy or Cowgirl
totally,
stuff anyway.
Totally.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of like Firefly specifically, but I can't resist kind of
Firefly
watching that kind of thing.
Firefly is good. It hasn't aged beautifully, I will admit. But it's great for what it was. Same with Babylon 5, you know. But, you know, I still have one season of Killjoys left, and Killjoys was black. I mean, it's your standard Canadian sci-fi. I mean, I am 100% sure Canada made this thing. But yeah, it looks really awesome.
Well, I hope I get a chance to see it.
Yeah, check out the trailer when you get home.
Oh, yeah.
If you make it home, the Rona might get you on the streets.
The Rona. Why didn't I think of that? That sounds so cool, the Rona.
I think.
I should have thought of that.
One of the Williams sisters. Maybe Serena is the one who came up with that. I think. No, I always love that. I got that from the old Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt sitcom, Mad About You. They were concerned about sleep apnea, and Paul Reiser was also. I think I got it. I got the apnea.
The apnea.
She's
yeah.
like, it's not what it's called. It's called sleep apnea. It's like, whatever. I got the apnea. And then before, the drug. The kids are on the drugs. You know, don't want you getting the AIDS.
Wasn't there someone that said the cancer? I mean, was that a Seinfeld thing?
That probably. Like, that becomes, I like doing that. That's a very.
Well, yeah, that's why with my family, I called it the COVID, but that doesn't sound as cool as the Rona.
The Rona.
That sounds so much better. Why didn't I think of that?
It's got the Rona.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Do we have time to draw another one?
No.
We're done?
Yeah, we're pretty much done. tell us how you're doing.
Yeah, please do.
Do that. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us how you're holding up. Tell us if you're one of those assholes who's just wandering around doing whatever the fuck you want. Apparently, there's a lot of like college-age kids who are just doing spring break anyway.
I saw some video on
it. Yeah. Fuckers.
Like they were mad that.
Yeah. Because spring break's not as cool because everybody's holed up.
Yeah, they were mad about that.
Yeah. It's rough.
it's like, what's wrong with you people?
If you are out there, if you have to be out there, let us know about that. Maybe we can help. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, my wife went shopping the other day. Someone had to be working at Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
For that
so,
to work.
Let us know what's going on. Apparently, my work is being really careful in terms of essential personnel. They're making sure that at any given time, it's not over 50 for the whole campus.
Oh, wow.
Like, for that exact sort of reason. And, in fact, if you need to go there for something quickly, there are specific people you need to contact to show up and stuff. They're taking it very seriously, which I'm good. But, yeah, let us know how you're doing. We always want to know, and now especially because we're kind of concerned. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, and also write in more stuff, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, because as you can see, this is still going. And, honestly, if something happens, it will still probably go, because you know what this is? This is my work computer.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be saying this on the podcast. My work computer has a pro license for Zoom, which is a telemeeting software.
Right.
Which, among other things, you can record.
Oh.
So, I'm not saying it would be great, but...
Technically, we could still do it.
Yes. You could be at home. I could be at home. We could still make it work. So.
How about that?
Then we will keep this alive. Also, apparently... Specifically in response to the Rona, Kumail Nanjiani and his wife, Emily Gordon, have started a new podcast called Staying In that I plan to listen to. I was just the other day thinking, like, I should maybe listen to podcasts since I'm stuck here.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to check that out. So that'll be fun. But yeah, keep listening to us, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.